This is CliffCentral.com.
Too many voices want to be heard, but not many care to hear or understand that it's bigger than we are. We're all too full of ourselves. When will our dark days become our last? And when will we walk in the light? When will our dark days become our last? And when will we walk in the light? Yes, I'll walk in the light. I won't die in the dark. So I'll walk. Time to hear and not talk. Just understand that it's bigger than we are. It's not just I anymore. When will our dark days become our last? And when will we walk in the light? When will our dark days become our last? And when will we walk in the light? Yes, I walk in the light. Been taught, I've become a refugee, running from the ways of this world. I've found immunity, freedom from the thoughts I've been taught. I've become a refugee, running, running, running from the ways of this world.
I walk in the light.
To reshape our own perception of how we view ourselves, we have to step up as women and take the lead, Beyoncé Knowles. There is no greater pillar of stability than a strong, free, and educated woman, Angelina Jolie. Women feel like we need permission. We need to lead and change that, Emma Watson. A few famous quotes from women who have been pioneers in their own respective fields and industries. But do these quotes actually ring true? Are they given effect? Are the ideals and principles behind some of the greatest quotes ever put into practice and taken heed of by women? Do women empower themselves or try to empower themselves by talking about how much they are worth, yet prove their lack of self-respect and self-worth by their actions? It's a question we're going to be delving into today and which I'm so interested and so excited to hear the different perspectives on. This is the Youth Leadership Platform on CliffCentral.com, brought to you by the Leadership Platform in association with Student Brands. Thank you for joining us in the conversation today. My name is Sasha Lee Gonsalves and I'll be with you. So, we can relax now. Heading into a much needed conversation, I feel, about women and their self-worth and value, as well as how they see themselves and their contribution to, you know, the greater scheme of things and society and everything. I think it was crucial to focus, be industry specific, not just general. So I think many, an industry which many, including myself, to some extent, believe to be quite a catch-22 in terms of how women are viewed and how they view themselves and what they are willing to do in order to be deemed successful. We're going to chat about this specific to the music industry. That's the industry I'm referring to, as well as what role women play in it. And here to share their views on the topic are the talented young women, Lucille Slade and Sophia. Yay! Thank you guys so much for, well, ladies, so much for coming in today and, you know, being with us to discuss this. How are you both doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm good too.
Sophia was just complaining like 5 minutes ago of how cold it was. Hey, it's terrible.
I don't think it's that bad anymore. It was really horrible last week.
I don't normally have to like wake up. Like,
oh, true.
Except on a Sunday. No, I have to wake up like 6 in the morning.
Sophia's usually hot. I mean, hence the Sophia, like, really. But I mean, this week is just terrible. But anyways, let's get into it. So, you know, I thought it was important to have young women who have real, raw music talent, musical talent, you know. You guys are not just the behind the microphone singers. You like, you're the real deal, which is great. And, you know, people whose careers are really so well established and on the rise as well to chat to us about this issue, because I think it would be valuable insight as to what young, newer female musicians actually do go through or are exposed to. And, you know, there's so many out there that probably, hopefully you guys are listening to this, well, you ladies are listening to this, and, you know, maybe you're up and coming and you're just starting out, and this is going to be the bit of inspiration or the bit of the few words that you, an insight that you need to hear about from people who have really, they've done it and they've gone through it. So, yeah, I think it would be valuable insight as to what young people are going through, young women are going through in the music industry, and what they're exposed to in what is debated as a male, or what is argued to be a male-dominated industry. Yeah. So, yeah, let's take it easy, though, and get to know you both a bit better for a few minutes. So, Lucille, starting off with you, someone who actually you studied.
Yeah.
You studied this. So take us through your introduction to music, your first introduction. Were you part of a choir when you were younger? This is for people who really want to get to know Lucille. What was your first introduction to music and how was it like?
Well, throughout my life, it's sort of always been music. So from preschool, the concerts, and then going into junior school, doing choirs, like you said. And when I went into high school, that's when I was introduced to, you know, school plays. And we did the choir, did the school plays. I think music was always still something that I wanted to do. I entered a couple of competitions. I won those and I was like, okay, wait, maybe there's something here. And then I decided to go to AVDA.
Okay.
After the recommendation from my drama teacher, and he was like, maybe this is a school you should try because live performance. And once I got to AVDA, I found out that they had a music performance degree.
Yeah.
They just started in the year that we started.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, wait, that's a sign. So I initially went to AVDA for TV. Yeah. And I was like, okay, let me try music as well. Because you could choose a couple of subjects just so you could find your feet and your niche. Yeah. And second year, I had to major. And I said, okay, wait, I've already taken the plunge. Let me just go even further. Let me just take music as my major. And I did. I took music performance all the way throughout my third year.
Wow.
Yeah, and graduated in that. Ugh. And it's just been a good journey after school as well, because I know that's really nerve-wracking. Because when you get into the industry or you choose music as a career, you're like, wait, what do you do after you leave school?
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, how did your family take it? Was it always just like just naturally accepted, or was it this scary thing? Like, our daughter is wanting to go into music and it's so, you know, unpredictable. A lot of people would argue. How did they take it?
There was never a question. Like, my mom was super supportive from like a very young age. So I never had to convince her. Instead, she was always like, wait, this is something you're always doing. Why don't you do that?
Why don't you?
I think she had more confidence in me than I did in myself. And that really helped me make the choice.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess after school was a little tricky.
Why?
Because we had done demo albums at AVDA, so it was sort of something for you to leave school with and be able to go into the industry and give to maybe a record label or to people who might be interested in working with you, be it producers or songwriters. But navigating that was a bit difficult, so I decided to go back home and enter a competition back home in Kimberley. So it was still a singing competition. I was very apprehensive. I was like, wait, you just finished your degree. Why are you going into a competition and you're leaving Johannesburg to go do that? But I did that, and that was the best decision I ever did, because that's where I met Celilo Celota, and he introduced me to Dave Thompson.
Boom, bang.
And that's who signed me. So
wow. Like, you never know, but
you,
I guess,
honestly never know.
Yeah.
And I guess that was my lesson as well. He always says 90% of success is actually showing up. So don't ever think you're too good for an opportunity, or you know too much for this opportunity, because that opportunity might be what puts you in front of the people who would push you further than just you having been at home. Because on that day, what was I going to do?
Boom, bang. So
been at home.
There we go. So, I mean, yeah, I can't even put it into better wording. Lucille, so what were some of your influences, you know, growing up and with the music and everything? What were some of your influences?
A lot of females. I like strong
voices. That's good. We're talking about females today.
I like strong voices. And for me, when I was young, Mariah was the one.
Wow.
So I'd try to compete with the singers.
Okay.
So I'll put their voice up. And if I could reach those notes, I was super chuffed.
Really? Wow, okay.
That's normally what I do even now. Like, I'll try and get their riffs just so I know that I can. So it was Mariah. That was just like when Rihanna started out. So
yeah.
I've been a part of the Navy. Music of the Sun.
All the way back there.
But also Aaron Neville.
Okay.
Aaron Neville has amazing tone.
Mm.
Awesome vibrato that just is so unique to him. So I've always liked interesting singers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to move over to Sophia.
Yes, yes, yes.
What was your introduction to music? Tell us about it.
I think I didn't choose music. Music chose me, rather.
Oh, wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. I studied law.
You studied law. I'm studying law. That's great.
Like, yeah, I was definitely going into corporate. That was my direction.
Okay.
I studied law. I studied business at Gibbs. I was your typical, I'm going to be CEO, you know, conquer the corporate world. And after school, I did do the corporate world for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
And I say music chose me because I've been singing ever since I can remember.
Okay.
Same thing. As a CEO.
It's always just been something school, that you've, yeah.
School competitions. With me, it's been, yeah. Church, I literally have, my voice was groomed in church. My entire family actually are musical.
Oh, wow.
From my grandparents used to sing. We were one of those families that under candlelight when we were all just singing.
Literally every get together is food and singing.
It's singing, like boom, literally.
Yeah.
I was the first in my family to both sides of the family to take it as a career.
Okay.
And how it came about is, look, I'd been singing, obviously, like I said, singing for a very long time, and I've been doing features on different people. Like, I've done Revolution Brothers, I've featured on Revolution Brothers. But that was like, I was just doing it because they would say, you got a great voice, why don't you sing? I was like, oh, okay, cool.
You know?
I did the Yamaha, South African Yamaha competition.
Yes.
Won that. But for me, that wasn't, this means I should go into singing.
Really?
I just knew that I can sing, so I'll do it because it's fun. And I really, really love performing. I'm more a performing artist, very visual artist. And so when I was in corporate, I was working for one of the big mining companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, oil companies. And I did a corporate, but for fun. I said to them, look, don't pay anybody else. I'll do the corporate. Mm-hmm. Like, pay me just, I don't know, like 20-something thousand. And I was guessing it, and I was like, oh, okay, great, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? And I did this corporate, and it was for all my my peers and the people I worked with and the bosses. And the MD of that company came up to me and said, I cannot believe why you're even here. Like, what are you doing here?
Really? The MD of the company where you
were? Yes, yes, yes. And he said, I don't understand why you're even still in corporate. And of course, you know, as a black child, you always know, well, not always, but we're raised to around those parameters where the understanding of your future and money means I have to get educated. I have to do something really serious.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And of course we accept that as a restriction because of the situations that you're in and
naturally.
The situations, you know, your family's been in and your nationality as a whole.
Take on the sense of responsibility
And he was the person who made me very aware of that because he said the one sad thing he sees with really talented young black people is we don't pursue our talent. We'll pursue what seems to be where the money
stable.
Is and where, you know, stability, which makes sense.
We
can give you good reasons why. But then this bug just kept biting me. You know that little chicken licking monkey that just sits there? And I couldn't handle corporate. I think it was immediately after that, that suddenly I just can't handle
you
corporate.
You kind of formed this barrier,
I really
mental
was
barrier.
This hectic corporate chick, the outfit.
Like ultra serious.
I, Not like Sarah's, like...
like as sharp as your hair is right now. That's Thank how you, you were thinking all the time. Yeah.
And but the crazy thing is, I was always the corporate chick that stood out of the rest. Because I was always very artistic still.
You see.
And even though I knew it came from, you know, the music side, but that wasn't really serious stuff for me.
Yeah.
You know, the producer I'm currently working with, Tammy, he... We've been doing music together since we were young, but it wasn't going serious into music. You know, I just feature on this and feature on that. Like I did say, I've worked with quite a couple of people in the industry before I took it seriously. And then after that, I just started doing, actually resigned. I literally just on a random day decided I'm going to up and leave the corporate industry and try to make music.
So did you not, you didn't mentally prepare for it? It just was okay.
Savings?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'd be scared.
I believe that there are certain opportunities, like you said, that you just need to show up.
Okay.
There's some of them you just cannot, if you get a phone call today and they tell you this one particular thing is in Durban and you have no cent in your bank account.
Yeah.
Come hella high waters, beg, steal, borrow, don't steal.
We're not about stealing on clipcentral.com.
Get there.
Get there.
Show up. And, you know, that's what happened. You know, I just up and decided I'm going to resign. I'm going to go to business school. I'm going to actually take it seriously and take it as a business. I went to business school before. I actually went full force. But the insane thing was 3 months after I resigned, my producer, Tammy, he believed in me more than I did, you know, in terms of doing actually getting into music as a career. I did the whole Idols. No, when
did
Idol.
You go?
I didn't actually audition.
I'd die.
I didn't audition. Mm-hmm. So what happened is we drove to Idols.
Yeah.
You're doing this? So let's go. Let's go to Idols. You know, try all the avenues. You never know where what the opportunity will come from. We sat in that line from like, I think 12 o'clock at night. And then, you know, yes.
Was it four?
No, we were like one of the first people there. Because it's 12 o'clock at night. By morning, everybody started flocking. And the crazy thing is, we fell asleep in the car. We were the first people there. But we fell asleep in the car because it's like the whole night.
You were slacking.
And we had people. Yeah. But I think it was, that's exactly how it was meant to happen. So there were people who had our spot in line. And we woke up and like, okay, let me clean my face. I'm going to go. And we just saw this entire crowd of people flocking to a competition that is going to define your life. And at that moment, he asked me, do you want somebody else to define and to determine whether you're going to be great?
Or
when we look at this, shouldn't be... The dream is that all of these people that are flocking to run to Idols and, you know, you see the gates, the Idols gates. That is... the kind of image I see for people flocking to come to one of my performances one day, one of my shows.
Wow, something so much grander.
And I felt like the only way that I can do that is to own it myself. We literally started the car and we left. Like we left. We didn't do the Idols competition. We left and did the first song was called My Boo.
Yeah.
I don't even think people know it, but did the first song called My Boo. And another song that I eventually then got signed with, like I said, 3 months after I resigned from corporate. I got signed to Sony Music Africa based on one song. We didn't have a demo. We were just like, he literally just took that song on a random morning, sent it to somebody at, I don't want to give a name because then everyone's going to send her cameras. Then I sent it, he sent it to Sony and of course they were like, no, you have to send a demo. It doesn't work that way. And he said, look, if you don't sign this chick, she's going to get signed by Universal and she needs to get signed by another so-called deal that's on the plate.
Interesting.
And literally on the Monday we got a meeting, they loved it. And it was history in terms of that.
Can you believe
Crazy enough, you speak about Idols, that's the, I think every time, once you're a singer, that's always what people reference. They're like, you need to go to Idols. Yeah. That's what you need to do. Yeah. And the person who signed me was actually one of the first judges at Idols.
That is so amazing.
Can you believe
it? I was like, wait, never. How's this happening? And he worked at Sony. I was like, what? So sometimes you don't need to do what everybody says you need to do. Sometimes your journey will put you in front of the right people.
Yeah. And I think it's so important to remember that, that not everybody, I think a lot of these young up-and-coming musicians have this idea in their head that if their path is not following
somebody else, if it doesn't mirror what you've seen, then there is no path for so many
people. Your mirror is cracked or something like
that. Ultimately, those people probably had, they didn't have a structure. They weren't following anything. They were following their own gut. So always, if you're going to be yourself, you're going to get to where you need to get to. Because there's no journey like the next person's. Your journey will never look like your idol's. It will never look like somebody
else's.
And
some people do have to take the idol's route.
And
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
I mean, I did The Voice.
You did. Yeah,
so you just, like you said just, at the beginning, show up. You never know which one is going to break you through and
crack. Yeah.
So that was my introduction to music.
Lovely. Love learning more about you guys. So now take us, both of you, like take us through some of your thoughts now being young and female and, you know, and also black. Yes. I actually want to put that in there. Like, I feel it's only right. Were there ever any moments of, I can't do this because, now this is the key word, because I'm a woman and I'm black and I'm young. And I'm not strong enough because I'm a woman and I'm black and I'm young. Or moments where you doubted yourself because of insecurities you might have had in being a young woman. Were there ever moments like that? Or was it completely neutral? Did you not ever feel like your gender was something that could hold you back or something that weakened you? At your most, at your, not your darkest moments, at your most vulnerable points in time, did you ever feel that way?
Mm-mm. I won't lie, I did.
Okay.
And not necessarily that it will hold me back, but rather the reality that you cannot run away from the pressures of sexuality around
you.
You can't lie about them. They're there. Mm. And I say that, and I say the pressures because it's women who are objectified, sexual, right?
Yeah.
Not only by men, but by ourselves as women.
Yeah.
We ourselves objectify ourselves as sexual objects and sexual. I do believe that we're sexual beings. Your first, you know, the first thing you mentioned at the beginning was, do women use their sexuality and, you know, sex cells and all of that?
Yeah.
To a certain extent, I do believe that there is the reason why God created us to be beautiful, to be sensual, not necessarily sex sells, but you can sell sensuality in the sense that you're beautiful for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the whole purpose of selling a dream, selling something that seems to be non-tangible.
Yes.
And yet some young little girl looks at you and depicts, this could be what beauty is. And that's why as artists, we have that responsibility to depict it the right way.
Mm.
Depict sensuality and not sexuality, you know, as a woman. Sell that. Sell sensual. Your body will definitely work for you.
Yeah.
But does it really? Doesn't it? If you use it as a sex object rather than a, I am beautiful because I was created that way, but I'm not selling it. It's part of who I am. See my voice, hear my voice first.
Oh,
the rest will come. You know, hear my voice first. Like right now, we're in radio. Mm. Nobody, I can already hear from my headphones that Lucille sounds to be very beautiful. She has a beautiful voice. She sounds like a beautiful spirit. Mm. When you meet that person, it is even more beautiful when the person is, you know, you see them
so it's
physically.
Just a bonus.
Instead of me just going, boom, ass, you know.
There we go.
Towers. I
mean, does your body have to be the determining factor?
It's difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because like you said, for me, being a woman was never the issue.
Yeah.
It was never an insecurity.
Okay.
But I also think that as I started growing, you start to see people paying attention to you. And they're paying attention to you for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
You are born looking the way you do. There's, for me, when I was in high school, I never paid attention to it because you're all wearing the same skirt, same uniform. So nobody ever really sees your body. But when you get to university and now you're all wearing clothes, for me, what I looked like, I was not that aware of. But other people made me aware of that. And that came as like a shock.
Really?
I said, because it, to me, it just didn't make sense. I'm just this normal girl. I'm not paying too much attention to myself. But then people make comments about your body. And now I'm feeling a bit more insecure about my rear end. And I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I need to cover it a bit more. I've realized that for me, I felt insecure based off of what others said.
Mm.
Not off of how I felt. Or maybe I didn't know how I felt because I wasn't aware of it, but it was brought to my attention by others. And sometimes in the music industry, you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like it when we police women or tell them, you know, what to wear, what to, what it is being a woman, what it is being a woman that is liked by others. You don't need to be a woman who's liked by others. No matter what you wear, you feel like you should always be a woman. Absolutely, and be respected.
Liked by yourself. Yeah.
But I say something because sometimes I'll wear like a see-through top with a bra and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling cute today. But the attention you get off of that has absolutely nothing to do with you because you're okay with how you look. But that's somebody else's perspective. And I always feel like you start to feel a bit more uncomfortable because the attention is not, it's not genuine. It's so sexual. And that's not necessarily what you were putting out there. You were just feeling cute. And now it's,
But that's the thing. You just wanted to have a no bra day, and now these.
I'm not sure about a no bra day.
No, I don't agree with that. But right, I'm just,
do what you do, but also be free to do what you do. Don't let anybody make you feel like you can't.
And you know, if you love attention, there's also nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely, there's also nothing wrong with that.
As long as you're comfortable with the kind of attention you're getting,
yeah.
Who am I to say?
That's wrong.
It's always such a tricky thing for me.
What if she likes attention?
Yeah, it's always very tricky.
You know, it's so funny. Lucille says, when she was at school, you didn't really pay attention to yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't have that privilege.
Really?
Doesn't matter what I was wearing. It was just like, you know, unfortunately, some people have assets that are just, you can put us in the same, you know, skirt and same pants, but it's just there. But anyway, those are the beautiful things about women.
Mm.
But I don't think it comes more from just to justify it. It's not a feeling insecure as a female artist about being female and your sexuality. But it's rather being aware that whether you like it or not, the industry will look at you as a woman first, not as an artist first. You will be looked at as a female artist. And there are also perks to that. Women don't want to be honest about it, but when a woman is put head on with a male, we have so many other opportunities that we can take advantage of. Men can't be ambassadors of a makeup brand.
True.
Men can't be ambassadors of... There's a lot of female brands, like a lot. We can take advantage of so many things as female artists. Our pie is so much bigger when you actually get in. It is still a male-dominated industry. But once you crack it, you have so much more that you can utilize to just keep going.
That is
true. It's hair, it's makeup, it's clothing, it's bras, it's so many things that you can use.
To your advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is a male-dominated society, but that's not a reason for us to feel like we possibly cannot make it or won't make it. Or
you're not capable,
Not I always feel like that's the reason why you can. Yeah, being a woman is the strength.
If anything, we are our biggest disadvantage. When I look at the male industry and how they communicate and how they hold, they're just stable, they're together, they have it together, and I don't mean as individuals, I mean as males together
collectively.
Women don't open opportunities for each other.
We hate ourselves and we hate other women.
Yes, we definitely do. Women don't open opportunities. We don't collaborate. We'd rather work with males than we will with women.
True.
With females,
because we'd hate to see the woman next to us empowered and succeeding. Boom bang. What a sad story it is indeed. You know, Emma Watson, again, and you touched on male-dominated, and she once said that fighting for women's rights has too often become synonymous with man-hating. This has to stop. Do you agree with the statement, and do you have any sympathy for men when it comes to talking about women and their place in society and within the music industry? Because, you know, a lot of people, when the whole men are trash thing came about, you know, there were a lot of men saying, you know, but not all men are trash. And there was a lot of backlash from women saying, we're not focusing on the men that are not trash. We're focusing on the men that are trash.
Because there's more of that.
There we go. Do you think that there should be any sympathy when speaking about men, when speaking about women and their place in society? Do you think that there is too much man-hating, or what is your idea on that? Do you think there needs to be man-hating because you're advocating for women?
I don't think that we need to have sympathy in the sense that men are strong men. We don't have to have sympathy for them. Mm. But I do agree that in advocating for women, you should never disrespect the position of men. Because there is a place, there's an important place for both genders. There's a reason why men are men and women are women.
Yeah.
Why we hold the positions we do and why they don't.
Yeah.
Why we have the certain types of emotions we have and they don't.
It all balances itself out.
Yes. So I definitely don't think we should be sympathetic, but you should definitely
be
understand
respectful.
That you must respect that men have their purpose.
Yeah.
In advocating for women, and if you're a feminist, it doesn't mean then you're bashing on men.
A friend of mine actually said, she's like, while we're being feminists, are we remembering to teach these men how to be the men that we need? Because unfortunately, some of them don't know how to. Society, a lot of the time, we put like everything in their favor. They're supposed to know what to do. They're supposed to know how to be. But the reality of the matter is that most of them don't. Like emotionally, being open, being understanding for men, sometimes is not the easiest.
Yeah.
And it's difficult as women, I think, especially women of our generation, to even start to understand how it is that some men still think the way that they do, when I feel like times have changed so much. We have so much information at our disposal. And how are we still in the same place? It's a bit difficult, but yeah, I do think respect is important. And I look at people as people, not as men and as women. Yeah. I think that if we're respectful of people, there would just be such a great understanding.
It's crazy. I have a song that I did, my first single with my major label before I left the major label. It was called Amagens.
Amagens, I was going to refer to that now. Go through that with us.
Yeah. Inspired by Brenda Fassie, the late Brenda Fassie. And that song was about that. It was about being a superwoman. Sophia has the hashtag superwoman.
Yeah.
And that's my AKA. And it was about that. It was about being a boss lady, being in charge, being, you know, aggressive with
being okay with being aggressive.
Yes. You know, being okay with.
Because that's what I struggle with. Is sometimes you get judged on how aggressive you are. But if a man had to come at me with the same aggression, it's okay. It's understood. But why could you not understand my aggression?
Yeah.
Or does it have to be
sugar-coated?
Yeah. Should I make it nice for you so you can accept it?
Because if a woman is aggressive, it's seen as something's wrong with her. She's going through something.
I love women who are aggressive.
That's what's like, the word.
I'm obsessed. I think the more you are and the less apologetic you are of it, the more people will understand it. You can't... they talk about immovable forces. That's sometimes what I feel like women are.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we need to be. Because we accept men as they are.
Yeah.
We make so many compromises for them. And it's awesome. It's great to know that we can compromise like that. So I'd love to see men compromise like that for strong women. I can't wait.
So that's what the song was about. Yeah, you know, being a strong woman, being aggressive about yourself, being in charge. But in the same breath, that's why we have the emotional intelligence we have. We can be aggressive, but be a lady about it. I don't have to be aggressive and bring claws. I can be aggressive and just bring my confidence. You don't have to actually see my claws for you to know that I'm aggressive.
Boom, bang. So now, what is your take on men running a lot of the behind the scenes of the music industry? Do you think that the capabilities of women are trusted? Just off the top of your head.
I don't think that the capabilities of women are not trusted. I just think that we haven't had the same amount of time in the industry as women to develop ourselves to the point where men are. We haven't been given as many opportunities as yet, and maybe we haven't created as many opportunities. I personally haven't come head on and face to face with an instance where I can say it's that they don't trust us.
Yeah.
In the music industry. In corporate, it's a different conversation. But yeah, in the music industry, I don't think so. I don't know. What do you think, Lucia?
I don't think so either. Like you said, I think it's just a matter of opportunity and also just time. It's like our country is still a young democracy. We can't expect it to be where some of the other countries are that have had enough time, way more time. But I do think that a time will come. I think we're slowly but surely getting there. It's like you'll meet women. I meet women in the industry.
Yeah.
But now that I think of it, they're not in the positions that most of the men are.
Boom, bang. That's what I'm saying. More men
than I have women.
And again, I'm not trying to downplay the man thing. Like, the men that do what they do, like, and are great at it, fantastic. Absolutely. I'm so happy about that. But, like, Sophia, you mentioned, and I agree with you to an extent, but, like, is it that women are not taking the opportunities where they are available, or are we not in those positions because we're not trusted?
How did men get into those positions? How did they get in?
Good question.
Of the few women who do have those positions, are they honestly willing to give
chance to
an
another
opportunity
woman?
And open that door for another woman? How many of those women who are in those positions are not PR mentoring, but are truly mentoring other young women?
That's actually true.
To become their equals.
Yeah.
To create the same things that they're creating.
Good question, because I know of a lot of women in those powerful positions who want to see you powerful, but really a level below them at all times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've also seen that before. But I just think it says a lot. It says way too much. Like, we don't realize how powerful we are as individuals. Like, no one can, I always say this when they're like, who do you sound like? Who do you, like, I sound like no one, because nobody could ever do what it is that you do. They can never walk like you, talk like you, enunciate like you. They will never be you. And as soon as we realize that, it'll be so much easier to sit next to another woman and be like, man, I like your hair, I like your lipstick. Yeah. Oh my God, great makeup, girl. Instead of just being like,
yeah,
when you walk in. Just as soon as we realize our own power, it'll be a little easier to help other people along the way. And I hope to see more females in positions of power. Yeah. I don't think that there's a lack of, like you said.
Yeah,
there's an
abundance. It really does start with us, you know.
Yeah.
So,
no, you're right.
So let's say men don't take us seriously. Let's say that is what it is. Right. I'm not saying it is, but let's say it is.
Yeah.
So how do we change that then? The only way is that it starts with us then. We need to then clearly start taking ourselves seriously first. Because whether you're male or female, just anything or anyone in general, you need to do it first before somebody else can say, okay.
Absolutely.
Proactivity. Yeah. No, I completely agree with you guys. I'm so happy to see how things are unfolding and, you know, the different perspectives. So as we shift things now, I really want to touch on something that I believe to be, you know, so relevant and in tune with what a lot of people are feeling right now. So it's not necessarily expressing my thoughts or opinions, but a lot of people feel that the music industry as of today is so overly sexualized in its nature. So now, do you think that women bank on sexualizing themselves in the music industry in order to be noticed? That was a tough one. I don't know. I'm just controversial.
I'm trying to think about it. Because like you said, we are human beings are sexual beings, not just women, not just men. But women are more sensual than men.
I think in different genres, in different spaces, the urban world you definitely do see women relying more on their sexuality and how they look.
Do you think they're relying?
That's a key word. Being. Are they relying or are they just being? Like, is
that's
a woman
always catch where I, that's always where I'm a little confused. I'm like, are we relying or are we just being?
I do believe that there's some women who rely on it.
Oh,
do you think it's right?
I do. Okay. And I'm saying that, and I'm saying that I'll back it up.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because at the moment, the one thing I'm experiencing as a new artist in the South African industry, the more talent you try to use. So the more you're coming head on with your talent rather than with your assets, it's the harder it is. I'm experiencing that. If I post a picture and it was a sensual picture, I will get more likes, I will get more comments than I will if I post a clip with me singing.
Do you think that is flawed?
Yes, it is flawed. And I blame it on, I can't say who
we're
I blame
getting
it on. I can't say who I blame it on, but it is flawed because it's like we're feeding South Africans,
mm.
we're feeding the listeners, we're feeding friends, yeah. fans,
yeah.
you know, the people who will consume your music,
mm.
what we think they want to hear or see.
What's worked.
And when you then have really, really raw talent and undeniable talent, it becomes difficult for the person to, am I hearing or seeing? Should I see what's on stage, or should I hear just the actual talent? It's almost like we South Africans had yet, I don't believe, have really, really heard the true talent of South African musicians. You've been given what we create. Mm. You've been given Instagram. You've been given, but to actually say, now we have really amazing female vocalists in South
vocalists,
Africa.
Vocalists, yeah.
I don't know.
I have a different perspective of that.
Okay. Go for it, Lucille.
Because I started doing covers, so I do covers yes. on social media.
I see them all the time, beautiful.
You know, like songs I liked and or of songs that people have given to me.
Yes.
And they've been like, hey, I want to hear you do this. Every time I posted a cover, I've gotten more comments on my voice than what I look like. Or more comments on my voice, on my talent. And that's, for me, been most of my experience.
Yeah.
It's always been the talent being recognized more than the body. It's always like, oh, wait, you actually look like that. But most of the time, it's, you're talented. You're like, you are super dope vocally. And I've had that experience.
But don't you think it's a little bit flawed that it's only when you do a cover?
Mm-mm. Even my own music.
Really?
It's always been the texture of your voice. Your voice is incredible. But I do understand where you're coming from as well. I do. There are quite a few women, you know, in the industry. Some who have the most incredible voices.
Okay, so if that's true, I'm not saying it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
If that's true, then why is it that that's not what is...
the norm.
The biggest artist in our country. Mm. Then why is that not it? Of course there are people who are true to the voice and who are true to the talent. But we're talking as a whole. We're talking as an industry. The people who, if people really are listening to your intonation and your tone and how husky your voice is and how beautiful, how you articulate, so why is it
that we still have the other aspect?
That the bigger, larger scale of artists who are generating them the income. Because ultimately it all comes back down to, okay, so where is the money?
The money, the money.
You know, because that's what says that is what people love. That is what people are listening to. That was what people are buying. Then why is it? And that's my only question, is that if we truly do focus on talent and essay, then why is it? And I'm not saying that the people who
are not
talented.
Mm. Yeah.
I've just seen and heard more talented people who are not exposed,
mm-hmm.
who are not great yet, rather than the people who are. I find that the people who are underground, in your underground places, and, you know, appreciated underground, appreciated, if they say, the background music, then the people who are pumped on radio, pumped on TV, those are the ones on the radio and TV are mostly the ones who are selling the sexuality, using their bodies. But the ones who are just, I'm just about my beautiful voice. And so as a woman, ultimately, I find that you have to have a balance.
You do.
You have to have a balance.
That's what I was going to say.
Don't just rely on your talent.
Mm.
Yeah, because I mean, another question that I kind of links onto that is, again, think of Rihanna, think of Beyonce, think of all of those greats. I mean, would they have...
No.
Would they be where they are in the music industry? I know you know where I'm going with this. Yeah. Would they be where they are had they never revealed their looks?
No.
I don't agree.
You don't agree?
I don't think they would.
No, I don't agree. We all agree that we don't agree.
No, they wouldn't. They definitely wouldn't. But I like the fact.
And it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing because, like I said at the beginning, we are beautiful.
We're visual.
We're creative.
I mean, human beings.
They owned their sensuality. They owned their sexuality. Whether it was overtly sexual. They owned it, and that's what I appreciated about them.
Yeah, and guys, you don't want to go to gym and work so hard and, like, don't eat bread and don't eat starch and don't eat pizza, and you're not going to recognize the efforts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just about how you put that form.
Because again, what you guys do, correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I don't want to act like I'm all experienced, but it's an entire package.
It is.
Your voice is literally like the top of the pyramid, but the rest of it, you're an art. You are a living art form.
You're like your peels just keep getting peeled off.
There we go.
And that's why it's important. It's about how we do it. Because we're also raising a generation of young women.
True.
One of my focal points is young black women.
Yes.
And being an advocate for that, it's important that when that young black woman listens to my music, watches a music video, comes to a show, doesn't first think that they have to sell their body.
There we go.
Doesn't first think that you have to use your body to get what you want. You have to groom your talent. Mm-hmm. You have to... you know, be consistent, be aggressive, you know, be, what's the word? Truthful about your talent first. And everything, all the other beautiful things about you will just, they'll just flourish. They'll just, you know, they'll become like a little cherry on the top. Don't use that mainly because then people will forget that you're talented.
I understand.
That you have that beautiful skill and that you can... We can actually take you seriously.
So now, what is your advice to both of you? What is your advice to young women, young female black women out there who are wanting to go into the music industry and they don't have the inspiration, they don't have the courage, they don't have the motivation, they don't have the self-belief and self-worthiness that they need to do so? What would your advice be to them? Young Sophia, okay, you guys are young. I'm not going to say you guys are old, but young Sophia, young Lucille, what would you guys say to those people listening right now?
I'd definitely say don't let your fear cripple you. Don't ever let your fear cripple you. If there's something that you're afraid of doing, I think that that's more reason to do it.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly do. I think especially in terms of career, there's normally a reason. And a lot of times it's because you feel like you're not good enough. And I feel like, especially for young black women, is no matter who tells you you're not good enough, look inside yourself and understand that the only person who can stop you is you. The only person who can push you forward, really honestly, is you and your mentality and how you look at things. Because I also do believe that positivity attracts positivity.
Okay.
And if everything that you embody is what you want to be, that is exactly where you're going to go. Understand that your destiny, your purpose lies in you. And you can unlock that and you can go exactly where it is you want to go. There are no boundaries. You are your only boundary.
Well said.
Powerful.
I think for me, it's a whole mouthful what you just said.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, you got to be very specific about what it is that you want. And don't be derailed from it. The road is very long. Don't have an expectation that it's going to come tomorrow.
Oh, my.
Next year, it's a work in progress, as humanity is a work in progress. If it took, and if we're specifically saying, you know, the young black woman and the young Caucasian woman, Indian woman, and I think that's beautiful about South Africa, is, you know, we're just a multitude of people. If it took that long for us to be able to sit on one table together, it's going to take that long. And not 40 years. You know, but it's not going to take you a day, a couple of years. And so you don't have, if you have that dream, if you believe in that dream, you don't have a right to feel like it's not going to happen. For yourself, you don't have that right. You know, don't give yourself the right to think, if it didn't happen in 3 years, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When life is that long, you know, be disciplined, have persistence and integrity in what you do, and you'll make it.
Patience, patience, patience is the most expensive virtue ever.
Just be patient, just believe in yourself, have passion, and keep pushing forward. So, okay, that was the advice to young black female singers out there. General piece of advice on the Youth Leadership Platform, we always ask our guests to share literally just a one-liner or whatever it may be to youth out there. Advice overall, in general, life advice.
Ooh.
leave us with that. I know you just hit us with something amazing, but just leave us with that with, for all youth, just so that the men don't feel left out. Are you stuck?
So stuck. But
I just really think patience.
Patience.
You don't lose with patience.
Lucille advocates for patience.
You don't lose with patience.
Okay.
And I need to learn it. I will say that.
Nothing much. I think it's not a piece of advice. It's be the superwoman that you can be.
Yeah.
You know? The world is big enough for all of us to exist in it. The world needs a soprano, an alto, a tenor, and a bass. We don't all have to be sopranos.
Look at Pitch Perfect.
Yeah. The world needs Husk. The world needs Clean.
Mm. Yeah.
I have a song. I have a song actually that we just wrote.
Yeah.
It says, it's called Superwoman. I'll be your superwoman, save you from the world. Oh, I'll be a superwoman, save you from the world. # superwoman.
Hey.
Oh, beautiful. There we have Sophia giving it to us live in studio. Wonderful. Okay, so then lastly, you guys, it's been such a short space of time and I really wanted to continue this, but we can't. Maybe we'll do it on another day. Coming up, your album. What's happening there? Tell us. Let us know.
Yay. I'm excited because I just found out yesterday it's actually in Musica now. So
really?
It came out last year, September. Okay. It was a struggle to get it into stores because they do have requirements and
you have to be patient.
You have to be patient.
There we go.
And I actually had forgotten about it. I was like, you know what? We're going to push this online. It doesn't matter. And my like label boss walks into Rosebank Music and he's like, what? So now he's like, okay, wait, we have an important meeting at Sony. Somebody's going to get it. However, we're happy that the album is in store. So Scratch the Surface and this, the single that we're working on now is called Walk in the Light.
Great.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I can't wait. So we're going to have a whole campaign for that. Yeah.
Super excited. And your social media details for anyone who wants to keep up with you?
It's Lucille Slade, LuciIeSlade. I know that's pretty fast, but... it's on all platforms.
You can replay it, don't worry.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube channel, SoundCloud, and go on to iTunes.
Boom, bang. Sophia.
Yes.
Upcoming work.
We're actually done with the album.
Okay.
But we don't know if we're going to release it as an album or an EP.
Okay.
Purely because it's important for us to gain the demand for it. You know, I want people to first know what I'm about and know a song or two. And so that's what we're pushing right now.
Great.
The single that's currently on iTunes and on Google Play is Sogalam. It's a love piece of work. So even the EP or album will definitely, that's the theme around it. It's love between you and I. And the song it's currently on radio now as well.
Okay.
It's on radio. Releasing a video for it. The next song that's coming out next week.
Yay.
Umuntu. It's about a secret love. Is there that love person that you just haven't told that you love? And musical. We should take that somewhere. And you guys can catch me and follow me on at I Am Sophia. SOFAYA. At I Am Sophia. Everywhere. So all social medias, it's exactly the same.
Everywhere. Yeah. Okay, great. So there you have it. We've had two amazing young black women who have achieved and are going to, I believe, achieve a lot within their respective industry, being the music industry, and, you know, go even beyond that, not limit themselves to that. They're going to be women and they're not going to choose to define what a woman is. They're just going to be themselves and in that, be women.
And just be.
It's just so simple. I think we complex everything. Yes. We make everything so complex. We over, you know.
Overthink it.
There we go. So, you know what? Let's not overthink. Just be a woman. Just be confident. Just be yourself. And you'll succeed. And you'll do great, I believe. So, thank you so much for tuning into the Youth Leadership Platform today. Catch us on Twitter and Instagram under at YLP Cliff Central and on Facebook on the Youth Leadership Platform. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.